The Toronto Mendelssohn Choir and TSO under the baton of Andrew Davis, for unto us a child is born from Handel's Messiah. You're listening to Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. Yes, the holiday season is coming, including the TSO's annual performances of Handel's masterpiece. But there are many other ways to get into the mood. And a fun and unique way is coming in just over a week's time. On December 2nd, Mary Murdoch Mysteries in concert. Lucas Walden is no stranger to the TSO. He was here in June for their solstice performance with Jeremy Dutcher, and he is going to lead this very special brand new episode live with orchestra, and he joins me now. Lucas Walden, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
We have some get-to-know-you questions as a first-timer on this show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What's your go-to drink when you're out on the town?
Stella in a bottle.
Uh-huh.
I like the bottle, yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite film or TV score at the moment?
How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, what about it do you like?
John Powell is the composer. It's just so vibrant, and it's got that kind of Celtic feel to it, and it's just perfectly orchestrated. It's just perfect movie music, basically.
Mm-hmm. Is there another favorite piece of music that you're really into at the moment?
Well, in the morning, I play chamber music for my kids when they're waking up. I am a classically trained flute player, so I used to love listening to chamber music, quartets, and wind quintets and stuff like that. So they don't get a lot of chance to hear that stuff around the house. So I put it on in the mornings.
Yeah. Is there any particular repertoire that you like?
Schubert Octet. I really like, the kind of the bigger chamber music pieces, the Trout Quintet or stuff like that. Just kind of the famous iconic pieces of chamber music.
Nice. Who is your favorite Murdoch Mysteries character?
Robert Carley.
Okay. Is that cheating? That's the composer.
He's the composer, but he's got this tiny cameo in one of the shows that we do. And it just gets me every time. He's like getting told off by the orchestra presenter in the show. And he's got to shape up. And I just find it just the perfect cameo appearance.
What's your favorite part of Toronto and why?
I grew up in Yonge and Lawrence, so that will always be my favorite, up by the Toronto French School, kind of down in that whole area there and by the ravine, and used to be Sunnybrook Stables, and that will always be my favorite part of Toronto.
Tell us a bit about your musical background. How did you get into music in the first place?
My parents got me into it when I was very young. I think I started playing recorder when I was 6 or 8 years old, and I took it quite seriously. Took lessons every week for the recorder, and I got quite good at it. And then I wanted to learn an orchestra instrument or a band instrument. So we tried a bunch of instruments, and my parents were always super supportive. So they would rent me an instrument for a week at a time and try it out, and try the trumpet or try the violin or whatever. But I took to the flute, started taking lessons with a few different people in town, including Christine Little, who played in the pit and Phantom of the Opera for, 15 years, and was a great teacher. And then I started studying with Julie Ranty, who's a recently retired associate principal of the Toronto Symphony. And then I went on to conservatory in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Cleveland Institute of Music. Mm-hmm. I went back and got a master's in conducting. Yeah, and then I just kind of traveled the world, lived in New York and Berlin and Paris, and just kind of took master classes and learned the scene and went to a bunch of concerts. And I wasn't earning any money, but I was certainly enjoying being a musician, I suppose. And then after that, I got my first professional gig in Edmonton at the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra as resident conductor. And then after that, they created a post for me called Artist in Residence and Community Ambassador, which I know some other orchestras, including Toronto Symphony, now has a similar type of post, which is very exciting. And since then, I've just been a guest conductor across Canada, across the United States, focusing on kind of non-traditional, non-classical concerts, whether it's movies or film or television shows, popular music, rock bands, anything like that.
Do you remember when you first got the conducting bug?
Yeah, actually, I was at Interlochen, which is an arts camp for high school kids in Michigan. I remember we were playing, I think, Appalachian Spring by Copland or something like that. And they had an orchestra library. It was the first time I'd ever seen an orchestra library. And you could just go down there as a student and check out the score. You could just, you know, take it out like a library book. And I'd never seen a full score before. And for anyone listening doesn't know, like, you know, each person on the stage that you see, each member of the orchestra is reading their one line of music. And but the conductor has all the lines. So, you know, he or she is looking at, you know, 30, 35 lines of music. And it's this glorious kind of chaos. It looks like chaos at the beginning when you're looking at literally thousands of notes on a page. But to see how they all kind of line up, how there's beauty to the chaos and how it's accessible to anyone. I mean, anyone can take out a score that, you know, Beethoven wrote with their own hands. You know what I mean? So you can't do that with Van Gogh or, you know, Picasso. You can't take out an instruction manual of how to paint Starry Night, but you can basically have access to how to put together, you know, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which is what a full score is. So, yeah, that's when I kind of got really interested in the behind the scenes kind of responsibility of interpreting what this artist has left behind for us.
And your last appearance with the TSO was in June. You were conducting the Solstice Concert with Jeremy Dutcher, which was a fantastic show. And I see that you've cited him as one of your favorite composers to conduct.
Absolutely. His music is very special to me. Actually, I was commissioned to write the orchestral arrangements for his first Polaris Award winning album. And it was a real adventure. Like, I didn't know Jeremy, and it was really hard for him to tell me what he wanted, because he's such a natural and passionate musician, but he doesn't have any of this stuff written down. So he would literally play the songs and sing them through and send me a video of his hands, just his hands playing the songs. And so I'd have to transcribe from scratch. I would literally go frame to frame and say, oh, okay, he's got a D here or a D sharp, or he's pushing this note here or that note here. And I literally transcribed his whole album like that for these kind of point of view videos of his hands. So, you know, I got to know his music extremely and his hands extremely intimately in kind of a freaky way before I'd even met him. And then, you know, we really hit it off when we took that show on tour basically across Canada to different orchestras. And yeah, he's remained one of my great friends and inspirations.
You are returning to conduct Murdoch Mysteries in concert.
Yes.
This show has entered its 19th season. What do you think is so enduring about this show that Canadians and viewers around the world keep watching it year after year?
Well, it's a type of television that is being phased out, isn't it? It's kind of destination scheduled television. And I think it's stood the test of time into a different era of basically only streaming. So, you know, a lot of families, people that have watched this show now for 15 years, I mean, they grew up with the show. They grew up hanging with their parents on whatever Monday night and in front of CBC and getting together to watch it. It's, so it's as much a entertainment value as a personal and kind of family traditional value. And that's what I see more and more, you know, when we do this show again frequently in Toronto and across the country. It just has it's part of the fabric of their lives.
What's it like working with composer Rob Carley?
I like Rob a lot. As a person, I think he's unusual in the fact that he's a great stage presence. You know, like a lot of composers, arrangers don't need to have that skill, right? Like they write the score and then they don't appear on stage ever. Maybe to take a bow, but you know, he's extremely well-spoken, extremely funny, and extremely passionate really about not just the Murdoch music, but about film music and all music. And you know, it's really fun for him now that this has turned into a kind of frequent collaboration is, you know, the way that these episodes are shot basically comes from how it's going to look on stage live. So, you know, a lot of times in the early episodes that we used to do, you know, we would kind of repurpose an existing episode and, you know, change the score around and make it suitable for in concert. But now these episodes, you know, beginning with Murder in F Major and Rhapsody in Blood, and now this one, I mean, they're basically conceived before they're even shot in films to how they'll be presented on stage. And a lot of that is led by Rob Carley.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't realize that. That's a very cool feature. So the next one coming up is Sugar Plum Murdoch, an all-new episode featuring new music. What are you allowed to tell us about it?
Well, there's a crime, and then the crime is probably solved. So that's spoiler alert. But yeah, it's a Christmas special. I mean, Murdoch Mysteries has a long tradition of really fun Christmas specials. It has some great cameo appearances, which is, again, you know, pretty standard for the show over its long history. And again, it's something really based on how it works live, how the soundtrack works with the orchestra. There's, as you can tell from the title, Sugar Plum Fairy is one of the most famous movements from the Nutcracker Suite by Tchaikovsky, which many Torontonians, is a part of their holiday tradition, going to see the Nutcracker. And so that music is kind of woven through the episode. And yeah, it's really fun to hear the orchestra play this kind of standard music in a non-standard environment.
What are you looking forward to in your return to the TSO?
Well, like I said, I'm from Toronto, so it's always a pleasure to be back. I mean, I know a lot of the musicians in the orchestra. Either we grew up together or we studied together or we have so many friends in common. So, yeah, just always excited to see the orchestra. I think they're one of the best around, frankly. And, yeah, just being in Toronto and inviting friends and family to come see the show. You know, I love bringing old high school band directors or old music teachers and, you know, giving everyone a chance to come see the TSO and see a good show.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. And thank you so much for joining me tonight. Toy, 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 for the performance.
Thank you for the great questions and for the opportunity to chat.
That was conductor Lucas Walden, who leads the TSO in Mary Murdoch Mysteries in Concert. Your chance to see an all-new episode with all kinds of surprises. That's December 2nd at Roy Thompson Hall. Get your tickets at tso.ca. And now from that beloved mystery, here's Let's Start at the Beginning.